All right, we're transitioning in our conversational evangelism here. You know, just to remind you that it's not our desire to put out a plethora of scripture verses. You know the Great Commission. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them whatsoever things I've commanded you, and I'll be with you always to the end of the age. And so you watch that commandment in Matthew 28 given, and watch it literally unfold in the book of Acts. And that's exactly what it does. They literally unfold that commission in the book of Acts. And we have next to us here an expert in the book of Acts. Brother Chuck here has literally taught that historical book for many years along with Matthew. And Chuck, have you had any opportunities here in recent days as a result of what we talked about last week? We challenged you to be praying. I know that Chuck prays for opportunities. He prays for me. That I will have opportunities, and so why don't you take off from here, Chuck?
Well, this week, every week is a different week, and I end up at Caribou Coffee numbers of times, but this week I had an appointment with John Pagel, who is married to Trista, who belongs to the Woodies, and they're in the Navigators working on the UNI campus, and so they wanted to present their ministry, so I said, John, I'll meet you over at Caribou Coffee. So I went over to Caribou Coffee, got there a few minutes early, sat down, and as I was sitting down, Derek, who is the boyfriend of Purgis, yes, Tom Hudson, his daughter Tori is dating, and so he got saved here in this church last year. Tom had worked with him in a Bible study, got saved last summer, and then I've met with him a few times when I have a chance. Pat's met with him, and so he comes in the door, which was totally unexpected, and I looked, I said, Derek, what are you doing here? And he said, well, Tori's got to get her nails done over there, so I'm just coming over here. And I said, well, it's great to see you. I didn't think I would see you. So he sat down, and since I was going to meet, John had not showed up, and so I said, hey, I'm going to talk to a guy, John Pagel. He actually is at UNI, and Derek is a student at UNI. I said, do you know John by chance? And he said, well, no, I don't think I know him. I said, have you ever heard of Navigators? Because I was familiar with the ministry. And he said, no, not so much. Well, let me tell you a little bit about Navigators before he comes. And so we're talking a little bit, and there's a lady sitting on the far end of the table where we're at. And after we're talking for a little bit, she came up. She said, pardon me, I overheard that you were talking about Navigators. Mm. And I said, yes, we were. She said, do you know that my son is involved in that ministry at UNI? I said, and then she introduced herself to me. And it was interesting because she actually is from a church that's really not known for preaching the gospel. So it was sort of curious to me that that happened. Anyway, we had an exchange of words, and that was enjoyable. So John finally showed up, and that lady had already left, so we couldn't make that connect. But as I was having my devotions on the next day, I was just thinking, and boy, that lady was friendly. And the thought came to me, Chuck, would you know if she's saved? Not in an audible voice, but that's how, you know, boy, I don't know. You know, don't you think it'd be possible to talk to her? Boy, I sure would if she was certainly friendly. And I had enough information where I was pretty sure I could get an email address where this lady was working. And so I sent her an email as soon as I found out. I figured that's what the Lord wanted me to do. And I said to her, I said, you know, I would be really interested in knowing how your son got started in the Navigators. And honestly, I'm honest with you, I really do want to know that. She wrote an email message right back to me, Chuck, I'd love to get together and share that. And so we're actually slated to get together tomorrow over at Caribou Coffee. I don't know if she knows the Lord or not, but that is just one opportunity that came my way yesterday, just another quick one. I was doing a wedding for Doug Schneider and Michelle Ferguson, the new couple that's going here, and as I was doing the wedding, one of the guys that's standing up looked back at me just before he was going to walk in on the wedding. He said, I know you. I said, well, I think I've seen you before. You've come to my door before. Remember that? I live over. And I said, how do you know Doug? He said, I grew up with him. That Doug that comes here that's a fairly new believer, and we play basketball together and all those. So hopefully I can make a reconnect with him as well. So yeah. Those Amen. Are some opportunities this week.
You know, a lot of the times I'll incorporate into my messages stories that might seem dramatic to you. And some of them really are dramatic. Like some of you may remember the story where I was sort of thinking I hadn't really been praying about opportunities. And really, that's my most practical thing I can throw out. And I'm going to get it back to you here in a minute. But one day I'm sitting there at a coffee shop and suddenly it dawns on me that I have just not been praying for any opportunities. So I literally, sitting on the deck outside, this is just a year or two ago, and I was sitting there, Lord, I had my hand, Lord, would you just grant me an opportunity to share Christ with somebody? I looked up, and here's a guy literally staring at me, and he goes, are you like a pastor or something? And I said, yeah. He goes, man, I got all kinds of questions. This guy came to Christ like a day or two later. It was the craziest thing. But you hear those stories and you think, well, those things don't happen to me. Most of the answers to prayer that Chuck and I have are not so dramatic. Just the other day, my wife and I were out at the store. We were buying a shirt for the big game. I wanted to, you know, dress appropriate. What? Yeah, this one right here. I got this one. So, Anyway, we run into this lady, and she's working in this store, and really, she's real chatty, she's real nice, she's a nice lady, but just the she's trying to sell us something, so she has to treat us nice, you get that, and that's always a little bit of a challenge, but you still need some discernment in those moments, so we're just talking, there really wasn't anybody else for her to serve, so we could tell there wasn't any pressure on her to do something for us and move on to somebody else, so one thing led to another, and I just said to her, I said, so, Alicia, are you a, would you consider yourself a religious girl, and she says, yeah, she's a Roman Catholic gal, and real nice gal, and she, in fact, I've never been to any other church before, and she goes, I said, are you married, divorced, widowed? Where? She goes, well, I'm divorced. She goes, I just won over a battle. Actually, I'm now 7 years without cancer, having had serious cancer. She's, again, only in her middle 30s. And she goes, and my husband left me because I had cancer. And she just was just unburdening herself. And one of the things that I've learned from Chuck over the years and have really dedicated my life to be less aggressive, because I am naturally aggressive, but less aggressive and more of a listener when it comes to these opportunities. And she just began to unburden herself. And as she did, I could tell she was trusting my wife and I more as we went. So we were able to share the gospel. The next thing you know, she was making promises to be here. And I'm trusting that, Lord willing, Amen. We'll get that opportunity. So, okay, I know about a dozen of you raised your hand. I'm not going to, you know, compel you to say anything, but we do have microphones here. So how about it? You prayed for an opportunity. Anybody get an opportunity between last week and this week that you could just tell us about as a result, as an answer to prayer? If you raise your hand, I'll just, all right, Emily, we'll make our way back here.
One of the nice days this week when it was nice weather, I took my kids to the park, and it was another mom that was there with her kids, and our kids were swinging next to each other, and so I struck up just a very surface conversation with her, and she was from a different country. I could tell I had a hard time understanding her, and very long story short, I asked her where she was from, and she said she was from Togo, West Africa, and I said, really? I said, our church has missionaries in Togo. I said, we've sent several missions teams. And she just got tears in her eyes. And she said, nobody ever go to Togo. She said, she couldn't believe it. And so it just opened up a door to, I didn't share the gospel through and through step by step with her, but I invited her to church. She's looking for a rental place in Ankeny. And I told her that I don't know. If anyone knows of a rental place, I have her number. She gave me her number right away, and she said, I would love to talk to you, love to get together again. Mm-hmm. I felt like I was able to love on her. I helped with her kids, helped her chase her little boy around. And so even though the gospel wasn't shared, it was an open door. So.
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Great. Thanks for sharing that, Emily. What we are discovering more and more now today than ever before is people are longing for community. And you even heard it in the baptismal with Brian. I mean, he's even going to atheists and seeing if he can find community. Didn't find it there, thank God. But there is community. Remember, I can still remember the first time I many years ago, it was after the news and a rerun of Cheers came on. It was the first time I'd ever heard it. I grabbed my wife. Did you hear those words? Sometimes you got to go where everybody knows your name and they're always glad you came. You got to be where you can see. The troubles are all the same. You got to go where everybody knows your name. You're talking about a bar. But there's community there. And people are looking for that. That could be. You don't have to be aggressive about sharing the gospel the first time. Hopefully there'll be an opportunity beyond that for you, Emily. Someone else. Raise your hand if you got an opportunity. Raise your hand. I'm seeing people over here. Oh, well, of course. I don't know which one he's going to share here, so.
Well, Derek went from that one that he had with you to an even stranger one he had with me that day. We went to, what's it called, Lemon Tree. And there was nobody else in it except for Derek, his girlfriend Tori, my buddy Wes, and I. We're sitting there talking about charismatics. and this guy who's working there, his name's Dakota, he's like washing tables. He's like, what are you guys even talking about? And we were like, oh, boy. We like lightly explained it. And he's like, oh, that's cool, yeah. And we were like, well, we believe in, you know, the gospel. And I lightly explained salvation. He goes, oh, that's cool. And he starts to walk away and he goes, well, all I know is when I die, I'm going to be a tree. And I was like, okay, you know. And so I was like, so you believe in reincarnation, huh? He's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he was kind of, I don't know how to put it. He was kind of like hippie-ish. You know, he believed in like nature and all this kind of stuff, how there's Mother Nature and Father God and like stuff like that. But it kind of turned into a really weird conversation. But it was really cool because we had to explain how the Bible is our final authority, and we believe exactly what the Bible says, and this is what the Bible says about it. And it was never like, we weren't like arguing or anything like that, which was really cool. But, I mean, he wanted us to come back. Like, he asked us to come back and talk to his manager about it, too. So it was really cool.
Someone else? Opportunity? Answer to prayer. Raise your hand, and I'll give you the microphone. There's somebody back here.
All right, I'm Sham Corey, and a lot of you know that I had cancer about a year and a half ago, and I've always been praying for my dad. He's unsaved, and we just don't have a relationship. He lives very close by, and we see each other maybe once a year, if I'm lucky. He sent me a text yesterday morning, which is odd for him. He never does anything like that. That he has cancer, third stage of melanoma, possibly fourth stage. And he wanted to talk to me about everything that happened to me. And when I was going through it, he didn't really communicate with me or anything the whole time. So I have to sit down. It's just such a blessing to know that God can use such terrible things for great things. And I'm so excited just to have the opportunity. Not that anything will come of it, but just to have the opportunity to talk to my dad and to love him and be there for him. So I just praise God that, you know, he's giving us messages to remind us that we need to be praying for those opportunities, whether it be a stranger or someone that we've loved for such a long time that refuses God.
Amen. Thanks so much for sharing that, Sean. Chuck, would you thank God for that, these stories that you've heard here, and pray for them, and we'll move on from here.
Father, thank you so much for Emily's opportunity, and I pray that you might give grace and open doors there for Daniel. Thank you for that. And then, Father, for Sean and her dad, we just pray that you would open the door and give an opportunity to be able to share the word, and that his heart might be opened. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You know, the Apostle Paul once said that that I wanted to come to you time and again, but Satan hindered me. Have you ever read that? And it's actually a Greek word, prokope. It means to cut in. It means to cut off. It's actually a military term that means to, you know, put roadblocks in the way so one army can't get to another army and whatnot. And he used that term to show how Satan had hindered him from getting an opportunity. Do you feel like sometimes there are hindrances in your life to be able to talk to somebody? And what would your biggest hindrance be? Let's be very humble and very honest. What's your biggest hindrance? Just shout it out. Fear. I heard other things, but let's just stop there for a minute. Fear. Would you agree, Chuck, that fear it may be the biggest inhibitor to sharing the gospel?
Amen. I agree.
The writer of Proverbs says, "By the fear of man brings a anybody know? Snare. You know what a snare is? It's the most ruthless trap ever devised by men to get animals. I'm not an animal rights guy or anything, but you know what it does? I mean, when an animal gets into a snare, it's a noose, and it begins to choke them, and the harder they work, the tighter the noose gets, and that's the description of what fear does to us. How would you suggest a person get over their fear, Chuck?
I think, to me, what really is going on, if you think about it, is that you have a greater fear of men than you have of God. Because God himself is the one that wants us to share his message with other people. And if that would impress your mind, then the fear of man is not as great. And you can go out and do it for the glory of God. And don't let the fear of man be that great in your eyes. Be a little bit thicker skin as you go out and visit with people.
Yeah, and you know, I can tell you that Chuck and I could combine all of our evangelistic opportunities over many years and tell you that we could probably count on one hand the time we've really been persecuted in any way. Yeah. We're always afraid of not having the answer, right? We're afraid of maybe not being as knowledgeable in this book as we should be. And so somebody might stump us. I think it was Paul Little, who was a former evangelist now with the Lord. He used to say, and here's an encouragement for you. He said, most unbelievers are Bible illiterates. And you should tuck that away somewhere. The next time your fear keeps you, becomes the roadblock between you and the person you're trying to reach. Most unbelievers are Bible illiterates. Not all of them, but I can tell you in my own ventures, that's a true statement.
Yeah.
Most unbelievers are Bible illiterates. And so keep that in mind. That can ally a fear. But like Chuck said, that you know, you gotta have a bigger picture of God than you do of men. Anybody else want to share an opportunity you got to share with the rest of us? Bob Sweeney. Stand up, Bob. We'll never see you otherwise.
Had to say that, didn't I?
I'm just giving you a bad time.
I've heard that before. And this is very simple, but I just took the opportunity yesterday to invite a couple people that I had run into to church. And it's just an easy in. It's something that we can do in a friendly way. And we know if we invite them and we even avail ourselves to pick them up or somehow to transport them here, it'll help and they'll hear the gospel. Yeah. So that's a good way that they're going to hear the gospel is invite them to church.
Yeah, and I want to just say something about Bob since I just gave a bad time, about something you can do nothing about. Bob works the crowd in this church like few other people do. He looks for newcomers like few of you do. Just today, he grabbed me. It's not unusual. At least once a month, maybe twice a month, Bob grabs me and says, "Have you met so-and-so? They're new here. Let me introduce them to you." This is what Bob does, because people do desire community. And the next thing you know, you're developing a relationship. Thanks, Bob. Anyone else? Oh, yeah, absolutely, dear.
Well, I went to see my sister this weekend, and I really wanted to go with the intention of going through one of the first Chuck studies or Bible studies with her. And I was going to say, you know, I had this all planned out, what I was going to say, and I kept thinking, oh, not right now, right now. And she went to look at a pair of shoes that I bought and brought along with me, and I had that Bible study in my shoebox. And, you know, she looked at my shoes and said, oh, those are really cute, and I didn't even think of it till afterwards. That's where I put that Bible study. I know it sounds like a weird place to put the Bible study, but anyway, I just stuck it in there so I wouldn't have to roll it up or bend it or whatever. And after she was in there, and I remembered that, I thought, ah, that would have been a perfect opportunity for me to say, hey, that's a Bible study that I wanted to go, or just, I wanted to share with you and just see what, you know, let's just share answers. And I didn't take it, and the Holy Spirit kept pricking my mind, my heart, and I never took that opportunity. And I was sitting here thinking that, and I thought, God, I'm so sorry I didn't take that. But he gave me an opportunity of another way of presenting it to her. So I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to write her a note, and I'm going to send it to her, and just pray that God will use that for his glory. And so I just want to share one that I didn't take that the Holy Spirit pricked my heart to take. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Thanks for sharing that, dearest. One of the reasons I love you, of many. Chuck, that's a good segue into our next thing here. How many of you are familiar with the Chuck studies? Raise your hand if you're familiar with. Look at your fans you've got here, Chuck. tell us, this Bible study has been around for a while. What was your inspiration behind that Bible study series that you did? There originally were three, then you added a fourth. Tell us about that, would you?
When I was living in Carroll, very strong Catholic community, I wanted to try and reach out to people. And I would go to new homes, like I do here, and have some good conversations with people, and always hopeful that there would be more. And I would invite them to church and tell them a little bit about, and, you know, say, oh, we'll be at church. But very seldom would they come. And it was very frustrating to me because there was no good reason to go back to their house. I've already met them. If I went back, they said, you've already been here. I mean, I didn't know what to do. I knew I wanted to teach them the Bible if there was any way to do that. So God gave me an idea of writing out some studies, and I used the sheet form for the longest time, still use that for this purpose. When I go to the door and talk with someone that's new to the community, then what I say to them, hey, I have a Bible study that talks about how you can know for sure that you have eternal life. Could I leave one with you? And I'll give it to them. And I'll talk with them a little bit more. And then I'll say at the end, you know, there's a few other studies that go with this. And when I'm in the area, I just like to stop by and see if you'd like the second one. The whole reasoning behind it was that I could have another opportunity to talk with them. Not that I expected them to do the study, but this is how it started, that gave me an opportunity to talk with some people more than once, and that's what I was after. So that's how it started. I would share just quickly what I think the advantages of the study are, and I just wrote a few down. And as the idea here as you go through these studies is, number one, it's not preachy in its form. It's more of a discovery mode is the idea. And I use my friend Doug, who led me to the Lord, and I would ask him a question, and he'd never answer it. He would just give me a verse. That's all he would do. Frustrating, but I was learning. And so I wrote the studies with the idea not to be preachy, but to help people discover for themselves what is written in the Word. And they're written so that most of the questions they can answer. Secondly, the person doing the study actually reads the verses. Our church believes strongly that it's the Word of God that converts the soul. It's not the presentation. It's not the presenter. It's the Word of God. And the Bible says that the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. So they'll read the verse as they go through the study. I think that's a big help.
And you've seen that, have you not?
I have.
You've seen that repeatedly.
Yep.
Getting the Bible, and you make a big deal out of that. Getting the Bible in front of the individuals, let them read it themselves, not just reading it to them.
Right, Right, and that's what they do. The third part is that I try to set up studies weekly or every other week, and I enjoy that because it allows a person to think about what they're studying and to reflect on it, and that helps out. It also gives the opportunity to deepen your friendship with them. As you go back each time, it seems like there's a bonding that takes place, and that's why I think it's so helpful. Also, you do not have to memorize a planned approach or verses. Now, I'm not against memorizing verses, but some people say, I would do it, but I just can't memorize the plan or the approach. No memorization is needed here. You have the study, you work on it, you don't have to worry about that. Also, in this one, you do not have to put pressure on people to make decisions. Sometimes, I don't want to do that, I just can't. This is not about putting pressure upon people. It's presenting the Word of God so that they can think about it. God will do the work. God will put the pressure on. I normally do not that. Normally, I don't even ask people to pray. Every once in a while, I may. If the person's really tracking it, wow, they're close. But oftentimes, I don't. And you don't have to feel that that's a pressure that you have to do. And then lastly, I think, this whole system develops right into discipleship. You've built a friend, they've either responded or you're going to go on, and now you continue the friendship and you continue to study them. And so that's what I've seen that has been very, very helpful to me, and I've watched God use it in numbers of lives. And I present it to you, it might be something that you could use in your own life. I know several are using it now, and I'm thankful for that and pray that God would use that.
How many have used it? Yeah. A lot of hands. They are available in our information center, the loose leaf version.
And there's also now the booklet. If you have someone that you're pretty sure is going to keep doing it with you, then give them a booklet that has all four in it. Those are available back there now, too. You don't always just have to use the sheets. The booklet can be used as well.
Now, we're assuming a little bit that everybody wants to do this. I mean, you were talking like that, but... I've been pastor in this church for 16 years, and I don't know if everybody wants to do this. Although, a couple weeks ago, I preached, and I asked some questions at the end. You know, do you have a passion for souls, and do you pray for souls? And I'll bet you were in the prayer thing that a couple days later, we probably had 30 or 40 people say, yes, yes, I need a little bit more, but yeah. A lot of yeses out there.
Yeah.
For passion for souls and praying for souls. So, okay, you've got that. Now you need a practical means by which you can unpack that passion and approach those prayers. And this is it. This is one of these opportunities. This isn't the only one. Everything outside of the Bible is supplemental, okay? This isn't the Word of God here, okay? But it's just a good approach to trying to win people to Jesus, and you can use another one. But initiating relationships, you would not say that Emily's contact was a fail because she didn't share the gospel.
No, by no means. And most of my contacts are not that. And actually, when I work with people, I think I shared this the last time, I don't even start the Bible study right away. I just want to get to know the person. Mm-hmm. I just want to get to know them. And then I can say, boy, I have a study that I think you really would enjoy. And then you can start that way, but get to know people.
Yeah, because I think our culture doesn't want to have too many friends. I think you should get as many friends as you can have.
Yeah.
Make as many friends as you can. Understanding you're not going to get super close to all of them, but pray to that end. Lord, help me to befriend people. Genuinely befriend them. Become friends with people. I think I told you in a message a few weeks ago, I hadn't been into my typical watering hole. I went there the other day after it'd been about a month, and Bob greeted me. We talked briefly, and I can only hope to get another opportunity with Bob, you know. But all right, for the last few minutes, questions about initiating conversations that might lead to something like this. Do you have any? Questions about initiating conversational evangelism that might lead to an opportunity like this. Do you have any? I think they're all experts, Chuck. All right. Kevin's got one. Do I have to run and give him the microphone? Yes, I do. Where's the... Here, we got one right here. It's the red one.
Just want you to talk a little bit about prayer, prayer that leads to contacts.
And you talk about the Easter thing, too.
Praying for contacts, is that what you're saying? Yeah, and Pat sort of alluded to that, and we've talked about prayer, but, you know, the Apostle Paul did say he asked people to pray for them. And so you should do that. If you're really interested in sharing the word, you should pick out several friends that would pray for you on a regular basis, that you would have open doors. And is that what you're thinking, Kevin, along those lines? That's really important to do that. I have friends that pray for me. The guy that led me to the Lord still prays for me all the time. Other people pray for me, and I keep up with that. That's why I think open doors come, because there are people that are praying, and we should be doing more of that. And I was going to mention as well, if you remember last Easter time, the guys got together here at 5 o'clock in the morning that week, and I just want to sort of prep you. We're going to do the very same thing again this year. If you remember, the result of that was Brooke and...
Derek.
Not Derek.
Not Derek. Brooke and Alex.
Alex, well, I just mind blank. But they came as a result of those prayers, as Rod Brace had an opportunity to invite them. So impressed with the church. Shortly after that, Brooke came to know the Lord, took some studies, but we are going to pray to that end that we would have opportunities on Easter as well. So thanks for the question.
Kate, one more question. Over here.
Katie Swanson's back there.
Katie. Please. You have to wait. Love to see my family getting involved in this discussion. I'm just telling you that right now.
I was just wondering, I know I've been personally really convicted lately about just listening to the Holy Spirit's leading and just really, really wanting to see that in my life. And there's a specific lady at the gym that the Lord has just kept putting on my mind over and over again. And she has shared with me a lot lately, just a really, really big personal struggle that she's going through right now. And she came to the Rejoice event, but she's also made it clear that she does not want to be preached to, that she has a church, so she doesn't go to it. So she kind of keeps shutting that door on me, but the Lord keeps putting her on my heart, and she keeps talking to me about the situation. So I'm struggling. Where do you go from there? I feel like the Lord's putting her on my heart, and so I feel like I need to pursue that. So what do you suggest? I mean, getting together with her and just continuing building that I'm caring about her situation right now, and not so much like, hey, let's do a Bible study, or where do you kind of go from there?
I think you have to, and Pat can talk to this too, I think you have to continue to pray, otherwise that person wouldn't, so keep praying by all means, and it could be frustrating for a while. Sometimes as I work with people, I'm always looking for different venues to work with them on. It might not be inviting them to church, especially if they belong to another church. That's way too much, and actually when I work with people in Bible studies, I don't even invite them to church at the beginning. I'm not even interested. You might see if the person is a reader. I just work with a couple that's going to get married, and just had a great study with them this last week, and I'm going to help them. They're not believers, and I said, you know, I have these books that I think would, I think it would really, and they said, we're not readers. Okay, I said, let me, I think I have a DVD that you... And they said to me, that's where we're at. And they've watched one DVD with me. I've assigned them another one. I think, and they could be readers. They could be DVD people. They might be. You're looking for a venue that will work for them. That's what you're trying to look at. Every person is different on that.
We don't pray for tragedy to occur in anybody's life. But how many people here, I'm just curious, how many here came to Christ by in one way, shape, or form because of some struggle that was going on in your life? All right, very good. And I was hoping I would see Stephanie in the back. Is Dylan here too, Stephanie, or just you? He's not here. Stephanie came to know Jesus how long ago, Stephanie? 3 weeks ago. And do you mind if I just share just a little? Okay. I mean, it's going to be your story, but you and Dylan... married for about a year and a half, having some struggles, and one thing led to another. We got involved in their life. Our son got involved in their lives, and But out of that struggle, both she and her husband placed their faith in Jesus. So you look for, praise God, amen?
Amen.
Amen. And so you look for, you recognize that out of tragedy, like this opportunity I had just the other day, when this gal just started unburdening herself, I mean, having a husband, I mean, having just a delightful personality, didn't she have, dear? And her husband left her during her cancer. And I mean, that just, I mean, besides just humanly speaking, what a tragedy. But suddenly we saw, here is someone who wants to be loved, who looks for community and stuff. And so you look for those kind of things too. And then trust the Lord to speak up when the time comes. You may have to keep mums the word for a little while because she's in essence said, I don't want to hear it right now, but I like you. That's yeah. Okay for now. That's where you take them in for the long run.
Yeah. And as with new people, share your life with people as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Not only listening to them, you share your life, maybe not even spiritual things. Just share your yeah. life with them. They'll get bonded with you, and they'll enjoy visiting with you even more.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Amen.